The title of my message today is called The Good Shepherd. And, of course, that's referencing, you know, Jesus, God. That's what the Bible kind of referenced to him quite a lot throughout the Bible. And with good reason. And so, if he's the Good Shepherd, what are Christians referred to as well through most of the Bible? Sheep. And, you know, if at first glance, you know, if you're not aware of, like, the Bible or you're not familiar, like, that's kind of insulting, you know, we're comparing us to sheep. Because if you've ever seen sheep, they're kind of dumb, you know, they're just a farm animal. They're not even a smart one like a monkey, or, you know, there's lots of smarter animals. There's lots of, you know, not even a dog, like a sheep. You're like, man, thanks God for that. That was cool of you to do. But how many know he had good reason? You know, there's a reason he was calling us sheep throughout the Bible, and that's something we should pay attention to. So something that I've been able to do, I work up at James Dobson Ministries up in Colorado Springs, and we do Devos every day, and something we've been doing through Devos is we've been going through this book. And the name of this book is called, A Shepherd's Look at Psalms 23, and it's by W. Philip Keller. And it's been really interesting because he's been a shepherd his whole life. He was raised in East Africa, and over there they still do like the very bare-bones traditional ways of shepherding that they did in the Bible. Like pretty much, you know, he was able to do some research, he found what they're doing, and they're still doing some of the same stuff today. And it is not fun. It sounds horrible. Like, if anyone, like, you know, when I kind of think of being a shepherd, you know, you think of walking by with the sheep, just like, here, come on, Freddie, like, let's just go, leading him. You got sheepdogs running around, it's a good time. It's not a fun time all the time. It sounds really difficult, and that's why I want to talk to you guys some of today, because it's really, God was very intentional when he referenced us as sheep and him as the shepherd, because it's very, has very practical analogies between the two. And so I'd like to share some of those with you guys today. And he starts the book, he says, it is no mere whim on God's part to call us sheep. Our behavior, our patterns, and our life habits are so much like that of sheep, it is well nigh embarrassing. That's what he says. He said it's embarrassing how many similar qualities we have between God in us and the shepherd and the sheep. But there are some good things. There's good correlations and there's things we need to be aware of. So that's what I'd like to go over today. So it's always good to understand why God does things that he does, right? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to dive in. So kind of the first thing, we're going to be reading Psalms 23. It's a very short chapter, but it's one of the more well-known psalms in the Bible. It's, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's something, you know, there's a lot of non-Christians who even know that. It's very well-known. But it's good to still dive into things that you know, to better understand. There's always, you can always get something new from Scripture. How many know? It doesn't matter how many times you read it, you can always get new revelation. So, this first point, I'm going to read the first three verses of Psalms 23, and this is going to be the New King James Version. And this starts, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so kind of this first point that I want to go over is he goes before us. So these are going to kind of be my points. He goes before us, he goes beside us, and he goes behind us. He's with us every step of the way throughout our daily walk. So his first point is he goes before us, and what this psalm is kind of saying is God goes ahead of us to ensure that the land is ready for us when we arrive. He lays me to lie down in green pastures. And that's a big deal. How many like things to be ready when you get there? You know, when you go to a party, you don't want to get to the party and you're like, okay, we're going to start setting up now. And you're like, I'm hungry. I'm going to eat now. Why are we doing this now? This stinks. This is the worst party. So God knows what he needs for us. He knows what we need. So he makes sure to take care of it beforehand. And so kind of what Philip Keller was saying in his book, so I'm going to kind of go in between the Bible and this book throughout. And so what he was saying, the shepherd would go in front of the sheep to prepare the table. And so kind of what this is referencing, the shepherds would apparently, they would call like plateaus, they would call those tables. So when God says he prepares the table before me, it's literally like land. So there's the correlation of shepherd and sheep. So they call them tables. And, you know, those were, you know, that was where the sheep did their grazing. So it needed to be prepared. And it takes a lot of work to prepare. You know, the shepherd doesn't just come and say, okay, come on, sheep, let's just come to this spot and then you can just go crazy. There has to be a lot of preparation. He was saying to prepare a table of land, he has to go and handpick all, sometimes there's poisonous weeds in the land. They have to go by and pick all the weeds. He has to make sure the piece of land hasn't been already grazed by sheep because it's not going to be that fertile, and so there's not going to be much to eat. There's a lot of preparation, and it's a lot of work. You know, for one shepherd to go through, I don't know, I'm living with my parents right now on an acre of land. I would not want to pull even 1 acre of weeds. That sounds horrible. That's a lot of work. And so there really has to be a lot of planning beforehand with shepherds. You know, they have to see, you know what, this isn't going to be worth it. There's too much work here. I can do this amount of work. I can pull all these weeds. This looks fertile. This is going to be perfect for the sheep. And so that's the same thing with God. God goes before us to prepare relationships, jobs, people, no matter what. He goes before us. He knows the plans that he has for us. So he goes out in front of us so that we don't even have to do the figuring out. How awesome is that? That's the hardest part for a lot of things. You know, with jobs, I have to figure out what job I want to do. I have to figure out what house to do. God's able to bring those things your way so that you don't even have to do that because he cares that much. And so that's how much he cares. So like I said, like a job position opening up. I've been blessed to have jobs come to me my whole life. So that's something I consider a big blessing, and I consider all God's doing. Because I know I'm a very indecisive person. So I know with that, that's a kind of a big deal, is, you know, looking for a job that you're gonna stay at long term. And that, you know, that can cause someone stress, anxiety, trying to figure something like that out. But I've been blessed, you know, I'm like, God, you know what you have for me. And there's been people coming to me with jobs, and so I haven't needed to do that for a large part of my life. And that's something that I consider God looking out for me. You know, that you might not consider that the biggest thing in the world, but to me, that's a big deal. And it might not be like that for, you know, maybe it's someone, you know, opening up a friend's heart who you want to share the Lord with. You know, God can prepare hearts. He can prepare jobs. He can prepare anything that you need. And that's a big deal. That's something that we shouldn't take lightly, because things like that, they shape our lives, and that's how much God cares about us. And so that's God going before us. And I want to talk about how he goes beside us. You know, he's right with us. He doesn't just prepare it and kind of send us off and be like, okay, have fun. You know what you need to do. You know, have a good time. He goes with us the whole way. He sticks it out with us. So I'm going to continue reading in Psalms 23. We're going to read verses 4 and 5. And so it said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And this, to me, is really saying how God is going beside us throughout our journey in life. He's beside us every step of the way and is aware of every little thing going on in our life. You know, it doesn't matter how big or small. God is with us the whole time. It doesn't matter, you know, our definition of big and small, how many know that's not God's definition of big and small? It doesn't matter what size or the importance, God cares no matter what. And so another correlation that Keller was making with between the sheep, and he was saying that, you know, obviously the shepherd, we've been over, he has to go and prepare the land, but he really has to keep an eye on the sheep throughout, you know, the pasture experience. And so there's different seasons in the sheep, you know, the preparing, and then during, there's all sorts of things that can come and afflict the sheep. There's flies that can come. He was very descriptive in this part. He said the flies can come. They can lay eggs in their noses and all. It is awful. It is a horrible image. But the shepherd has to take care and prevent things like this happening. It is not a fun image. Don't think about it too long. But so he's with us during it, all through that. And he said the shepherds, they would make, and this is where the term anointed with oil came from, is he would anoint the sheep's noses with oil, their heads, to keep those away. So that's kind of where that term anointing with oil, and so he's very proactive throughout the whole time. He's very proactive, making sure, you know, everyone's noses is treated. If there's flies, he's swatting them away. And that's the thing, like, even once he's put the oil on the sheep's noses, he's still swatting them away, even though they're technically not in danger. But he still doesn't want them to be annoyed. He wants them to be comfortable and at peace. And that's the cool thing that he was saying, you know, that God does for us. And like I was saying earlier, it doesn't matter how big or small. He doesn't just take care of our big circumstances. Even the small annoying ones. You know, things like, man, I forgot my lunch today. He can put it on someone's heart to, you know, I've had that happen to me. He puts it on someone's heart. Hey, would you like me to buy you lunch? You know, that's not a huge end of the world thing. But that's how much God cares about even the little things. You know, those things matter, and they really help us. And so God cares about what happens with us, no matter how insignificant it seems. And if God cares enough to go ahead of you to prepare things for you, that means he cares enough to go beside you and to be with you during them. And so that's why when that verse says your rod and your staff, they comfort me, that means God is with us no matter what circumstances are going on. No matter how dire it may seem, no matter how stressful it might get, that never means that God isn't there right by us. If anything, that needs to be when we're leaning on him the most. And that's oftentimes, it's of no account of God's. That's usually us. You know, when things get bad or stressful, we can kind of elevate our problems above God. And it doesn't mean that God's not there. It just means we're not putting our focus in the right spot. And so God doesn't want that. But again, you know, sheep are kind of like that. They don't always want to listen to the shepherd. They kind of want to go off and do their own thing. Like, I don't want to listen to you. I know what's best. I'm going to go eat this poisonous weed over here. I don't care. You know, the shepherd knows what's best, but we just have to keep in mind that it's still us who has to make the ultimate decision, you know, to kind of follow through and follow his direction. And so that's what it's saying when God is beside us. And so kind of the next point, we're going to read this last verse of Psalms 23, verse 6. And this is the point, is God wants us to live blessed lives. And so God doesn't just want to prepare before us. He just doesn't want to be beside us the whole time. He wants to be to us to the point where we are so blessed beyond measure that our cup is running over. And that's something that, you know, even a lot of Christians sadly don't believe. They don't always believe that God wants us healed. They don't always believe that God wants us financially blessed. And that's God's heart, though. At the very center of his being is God wants the absolute most and best for us no matter what. And so that's on us. Again, something that we have to kind of deal with in ourselves, that's something that we're going to need to accept and kind of partake in. Because again, that's not something that is of any volition of his own. That's something that we have to do on our part. And so this last verse of Psalms 23, verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so goodness and mercy will follow you. This isn't something that we have to chase after. This isn't something that we have to pursue. It's just purely something we have to believe in, and then it will follow us. It will chase after us. And that's really cool. That's a big deal. And so that's something that just really we really have to take hold of. Healing, finances, good relationships, those are all vital aspects of our life that we really need to take hold of and really believe in God for, that he does want the best for us. Because if you're thinking negatively, you're thinking, God doesn't want me healed. God doesn't want me financially blessed. God doesn't want me to have the best relationships. Those are all things that, you know, you're going to miss out on. And those are things that really can make your life good or can make your life miserable. And so those are big deals. The shepherd goes out of his way to ensure that every single need of the sheep is met. And so, as I've said through this whole process, you know, the shepherd going before, preparing, being beside, it's not an easy process, and it's definitely not the most, like, comfortable situation for the shepherd. You know, it's really something that he does have to go out of his way to do, but it's something that God is willing and happy to do for us. You know, it's not a pain for God to provide our healing. It's not a pain for God to provide finances. That's not how God works. That's not how he thinks. And so, again, God and the shepherd, they go out of their way to ensure that every single thing in our lives is provided for, that we have, that we're taken care of. So, and one thing that I wanted to address in this is, because, and specifically along those things of healing and finances, is a lot of people will say, well, God, you know, that was in the Old Testament, that was in the New Testament. And they'll kind of, you know, attribute that God has changed in a way, you know, like, oh, well, those miracles, they're available in the New Testament. You know, they don't really work nowadays. But that's not true. And I have this verse to read to you guys. It's James 1:17, and I really liked how the Passion Translation put it. Every gift God freely gives us is good and perfect, streaming down from the Father of lights, who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow or darkness, and is never subject to change. And so that's a big thing. That's the one that stood out to me the most, that last one, is never subject to change. So what does that mean? God doesn't change. So if God was doing things, performing miracles, providing healing, providing finances in the New Testament, why does he not provide it now? God doesn't change. So that's something that we really need to get a hold of and really have a revelation for, because it is kind of a prevalent thing that, you know, I've heard from many people who have said things like that, you know, that's in the past. That was a different covenant, or, you know, none of that stands today anymore. But, like, you know, God's word is true, and God's word specifically says God does not change. So the things that God wanted for his people, it doesn't matter how far back it goes, those things stay true today. And so God's thoughts and desires for us are never subject to change. There's no well that is in the Old Testament or well that was in the New Testament. Only the God who always has and always will want nothing but the absolute best for us in every possible aspect of our lives. If we refuse to accept these blessings from God, we are blocking ourselves from living the life that God intended for us. Again, like I was saying earlier, you know, if we're not taking hold of these things, it's of no fault of God. It's something that we need to work on ourselves on. And so sheep are stubborn. Like I was saying, it's in the book, he was kind of going into detail, you know, even when, you know, the shepherd's trying to lead the sheep, anoint their head with oil, they'll sometimes go off, butt heads, you know, if they got flies going around, they'll butt their heads up on trees, they'll scab their head up just for the sake of being stubborn. You know, even when the shepherd is trying to help them, they go out of their way almost to kind of take things up on their own and kind of handle things themselves. But how many know that's not the best thing to do? We never need to rely on our own strength or our own willpower to get things done. That's something that God needs to do for us, because he does a better job than us. So this is going to be a shorter message, but my conclusion is shepherding is not an easy task. When I was done reading this book, I wanted to never be a shepherd. Like, I never wanted to in the first place, but if I didn't then, I certainly don't now. Like, all the things, and like I was saying, the flies laying and all the oils he has to go, all the scouting he has to do, man, it is a process. And, you know, the Bible kind of touches it on, you know, when David, he was a shepherd, he was killing, you know, bears and lions. I'm like, I would almost prefer killing the lions and bears over all this stuff. That seems like almost less work than this, but it's such a process, and it just really is enlightening to kind of see the correlation between the two and how much God does care and how much he does go out of his way to ensure that we are taken care of. So shepherding is not an easy task. It's full of hard work, constant anticipation of the sheep's needs, and endless patience. Through all the hard work that the shepherd has to put in, all the sheep have to do is sit there and accept it and go about their day grazing in the fields that have been tailored specifically for their needs. As Christians, that's all we have to do. All we have to do is accept God's blessings, go about our day, and live our lives filled to the brim with his favor and love for our lives. And again, that's through no action of our own. We have received the biggest, like, leg up or advantage on life that anyone could ever ask for. Yet so many people go out of their way to avoid these gifts that God's freely given us. And so my call to action for all of us is, you know, we don't like to think it, but let's be like sheep. Let's live our lives in blissful ignorance, but not the blissful ignorance of what he's done for us, but rather the ignorance of the things around us and elevating and putting value on what God has done for our lives. God's word and promises are not subject to change, as we read, so our thoughts and expectations of who he is should not change either. It doesn't matter what happens in our life. It doesn't matter what circumstances may pop up. Just as God's view on us and expectations for us shouldn't change, our view of who he is and what he has done for us should never change, no matter what. So, Who learned something? Who wants to be a shepherd? Raise your hand if you want to be a shepherd. Okay, I didn't think so. You can all stand. Man, we should all be thanking God for what he's done for us all day, every day, because he has truly done so much for us. And it might not seem like it all the time, but God is leading and benefiting our lives in ways that we can't always see, and so we should still be grateful.